Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 118, the 118th Psalm, please, if you would. Let's pray together before we read the Scripture, shall we? Lord Jesus, this is your word. You have given it to us. We are so grateful to have the word of God in our hands, that it might go into our minds and into our hearts and drop into our feet so that we will live it out by the power of your spirit. Help us interpret your word to us today, Lord, and apply it to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's right. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Again, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So we ask ourselves, why is this happening to me? How come such bad stuff happens to good people? Why am I going through this thing I'm going through right now? I don't know. You know, sometimes we just have to tell the truth. Sometimes we're going through what we're going through because of our own stupidity, right? I don't know about you, but I've earned some of my own trouble. Have you earned some of your trouble? Here's an accident report that came in from a bricklayer in England back several years ago. Dear sirs, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information in block 3 of the accident report form. I put poor planning as the cause of my accident. You asked for further explanation, and I trust the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade, and on the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I found out I had some bricks left over, which when weighed later were found to weigh 240 pounds. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel using a pulley, which was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went down and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 240 pounds of bricks. You will note on the accident report that my weight is 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel, which was now proceeding downward at an equally impressive speed. This explains the fractured skull, minor abrasions, and the broken collarbone as listed in section 3 of the accident report form. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until my fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley, which I mentioned in paragraph 2 of this correspondence. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of the excruciating pain that I was now beginning to experience. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Now devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building in the vicinity of the third floor. I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles, the broken tooth, and the severe lacerations to my legs and lower body. Here, my luck began to change slightly. The encounter with the barrel seemed to slow me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks, and fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the pile of bricks in pain, unable to move and watching the empty barrel 6 stories above me, I again lost my composure and presence of mind and let go of the rope. And I lay there watching the empty barrel begin its journey back to me. Is that great? That is great. Ouch! Man, those bricklayers are tough. So, you know, a lot of stuff that we do is our own, you know, it's kind of our own fault, right? It is. And so you got to deal with that. And we talk about that stuff as we go through. But, you know, there are some things that we go through that we just don't understand why. And we just are always asking, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to go through this? What have I done? I mean, we just keep asking all those kind of questions. No matter what you're facing, we are all called to face tomorrow the same way as believers. We're not called to face tomorrow as unbelievers. We are to face tomorrow as believers, people of faith in the real and living God. Not in the idea of positive thinking, because that doesn't work. It's in the real, historical God of the Bible who is alive and who saved you by the blood of his son, Jesus. Now, if he saved you and he holds your life in his hand, then you can face tomorrow and say with the psalmist that no matter what is coming, today is the day the Lord has made. Might not like it. Don't know what's going on. God didn't cause the bad things that are happening in your life, but I'm telling you, he will use them if you'll let him. This is the day, no matter what we're facing. This is the day. We're called to live by faith. I love Lyle Lovett. And yes, I even like his haircut. Okay, I like the... It's not as big as it used to be. But I love him. He's a tender-hearted, good man. He had a friend that died a couple of years ago. And he didn't know what to do. He said, I was in trouble, and the gospel and music came to my rescue. And he wrote a song. I'm gonna wait just a little bit longer. I'm gonna pray on bended knee. I'm gonna wait just a little bit longer till my Savior comes for me. We don't like waiting, do we? He chose to wait and trust God. We don't wait very well. Sue Keeler, Sue's little great-granddaughter, Victoria, is precocious. That means she's mouthy, if you don't know. But she says her mind. She was all excited to find out they have good pizza there. So she ordered one of those little pizzas. She ordered pizza. And then she starts saying, where's my pizza? When's my pizza coming? Where's my pizza? Where's my pizza? So... somebody said, honey, you know, the man, when the pizza's ready, he'll bring you your pizza. Well, every man that walked by, where's my pizza? Is my pizza coming? Where's my pizza? Where's my pizza? Where's my pizza? Okay. So finally, grandpa says, honey, your pizza's coming. You've got to have patience. And little Victoria said, and I quote, I don't want patience. I want pizza. Is that a great line? Man, pray for her parents. So, you got a choice. Are you a believer? So, if you're a believer, then believe. Pretty simple, isn't it? You know, how are we supposed to live our lives after we come to Christ? Paul told us, since you trusted in Christ, continue to follow Christ in the same way you became a believer, same way you put your trust in Christ. You didn't do anything to deserve it, so now keep trusting. Pretty simple, isn't it? If you're a believer, believe. This whole thing about being a Christian isn't just about getting forgiven. It is, and we're so grateful for that. It's not just about going to heaven when we die, but it is all part of that, and that's wonderful, and we're so grateful for that. But the other part of being a believer and coming to Christ is to live out this reality in our day-by-day lives. So whatever you're facing, answer it with that statement. When you don't want to get up and face whatever it is, before you get up, say this out loud. Today is the day the Lord has made. The devil hasn't made it. Nobody else has made it. God has made this day, and I'm going to face it. Today is the day the Lord has made. Live it out. It's his day. Now, not only do we say that, but have you ever considered this? We always ask, why is this happening to me? How about realizing that maybe this has been given to you? Instead of saying that this is happening to you, could it be that this has been given to you? Peter was one of the, of course, the disciples of Jesus. You know that. His original name was Simon. And Jesus gave him a name, Peter, which means a rock. I know you don't want to hear this, but you got to hear it. This isn't happening to you. This is given to you. Whatever comes to you comes through a nail-scarred hand, right? Because you're in his hand. We might not like it. It isn't fun. Verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. If you have any trouble finding 1 Peter, find 2 Peter. It's pretty close. Okay, all right. 1 Peter chapter 1. It is, though, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Listen to this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Now, I like this so far, don't you? I like this so far. But Peter is writing to a group of people who had been exiled from their homes because of their faith. These people had run for their lives and left everything behind. We cannot even begin to imagine what that had to be like for them. Peter wrote this beautiful thing to them, and then he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials. Now get this. These have come. They didn't happen. They were given. Isn't that strange? These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined in the fire, may be proved genuine. Let me read that again without his parenthesis. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This is an opportunity. Facing a difficult tomorrow is an opportunity for us to realize that this is given to us. We might not like it, but it's given. And I know you don't want to hear it. I was getting a haircut this week, and my barber, Christopher, works in a salon. He's the only man that works in there. And I'm in the back getting my haircut, and I'm talking to him. So, Chris, how's the boat? Have you been on the lake? How you doing? How's church been? I'm asking him all these questions. He's not talking to me. So I turn around, and he looks at me, and I said, you're not answering me. He pops out. He has earplugs on. I said, you got earplugs on? He goes, man, I work with 13 women in this place. He said, it's a constant hum. If I don't have earplugs in, my ears will bleed by the end of the day. He says, listen to that. Just a, and it's like, oh, the hum. Like, going on. Because you girls talking, that's a beautiful thing most of the time. But when there's a whole herd, I'm telling you, it's really something. The whole group was there, man. So you get to this portion of scripture, time to take the earplugs out, okay? You might not want to hear it. You might have set this stuff aside your whole life because we're so desperate to be comfortable. Maybe this is a gift given from God. And you want to know why it's been given? It's been given so that you can be proved to yourself and to all those who care to watch that you're the real deal. Last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, Debbie and I were with some friends, and my little friend DJ was there. He's not a little friend anymore. He's, oh my goodness, 37, 38 years old. He's been out of the military for a few years. When he was 4.5 to 5, he helped me clear the lot we built our house on 32 years ago. His dad and I were dropping trees, and he wanted to be there. And to keep him out of the way, we gave him a hatchet that you couldn't cut butter with. And I took him over to the edge of the lot and showed him a sapling about that big a down and said, get her done. And he just, all day. He had these camouflage pants on with a pound puppy sticking out of the pocket. So now I see him, and he's this grown man, just got out of the military. He was a sniper in Afghanistan. To save the lives of thousands and thousands, he was given the difficult job of sneaking into a site and hiding for days without moving until his mark showed up in order to eliminate that leader. Boy, so the world's an ugly place, isn't it? He's struggling with post-traumatic stress syndrome. He still can't walk on the path in his dad's property up north. He's got to walk in the woods. He's a wonderful boy, and I love him. When I talked to him the other day, I told him, hey, I've got an oak tree that's died. Can you still cut down trees? He says, I still got my pound puppy, Pastor Tom. When he went through training to become this elite special force person that he was in, he went through training, but the training wasn't just to train him. The training was to show that he had the stuff to do it. Listen, you've been through some terribly difficult things. God doesn't want to hurt you, but God does want to show you that you got it with his help. You got this. You've got the ability. You can do it. And so we just have patience, right, that Victoria didn't want. And we wait on the Lord, and we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And then secondly, we realize that this isn't happening, this is given, okay? Man, I don't like to say that because I don't enjoy that either, but it's true. And if we can just get a little picture of that, it'll pay off. It'll pay off big time. Listen, if you'll recognize it this way, if you will see everything from the hand of God, even though we don't understand it, it will pay off because you stop being a victim. We have to face each day with saying, this is the day the Lord has made. And secondly, this isn't happening to me. This is given to me. You think you can't take this, okay? This might be, I mean, if you're here today or if you're listening to my voice, this might just seem like too much for you. There's no way I can't take it. Let me tell you something. You can take it. I'm going to read to you one section here from the book, just the book of Hebrews. Get this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus. Why? Do you remember as we began communion today, I read a verse to you about Jesus taking them through communion, and then they sang a hymn, and he went out to the Mount of Olives to be arrested, beaten, and brutally murdered for our sin, right? Do you know what the song was that was sung at the end of Passover? Is Psalm 118. On that dark night when Judas betrayed him, on that dark night when he was going to face the sin and corruption of the whole world, taking the payment for our sin on his own shoulders, alone on a cross, separated from his Father, shedding his life's blood for us, he mouthed these words, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." So it said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So we will say about whatever it is we're facing, I will. You might think you can't, but you can. You can rejoice. You can do this. Remember, Jesus asked a little man who was at a pool waiting to be healed, do you really want to get well? Well, maybe you've been stuck in this mode for so long. Maybe Jesus needs to ask all of us that were those simple words today. Do you really want to be well? Or do you want to be a victim? Or do you want to have the excuse of it? We have to look at it squarely. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So, do you remember the psalmist? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You remember it, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through. Do you see that? He didn't say, yea, though I camp, set up resident in the valley of the shadow of death. Quit living there. It's time to move through it. His will is for you not to live in it, but to go on and watch him bring you out of the other side. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you went through for us. And because of what you went through, we're able to go through whatever we're facing today because of you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to face it, trusting you, expecting your hand to move. Lord, we can't change our situations in most cases, but we can change our response to those situations. Instead of fear, faith. Instead of anger, love. You can change us, Lord, and we ask that you would change us as you have given us these situations to live out. Help us to be a people of true and real faith in you, the living God. Thank you for our time together today. Bless our nation. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.